head coach for Utah State, one of the hottest coaches in the country, 19-9 record in the Mountain West, and coached quarterbacks. He's finally that head coach at Utah State. He's doing great things, developing young men. And look, as we always do, we like to preview post spring the opponents on the BYU Cougar schedule. We got Matt Wells on the line. How you doing, Matt?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Living the dream, man. We get to talk about football for 3 hours a day. Well, we try to talk basketball as well.
No,
but
football
only. We all know what's king around here. This is my first question for you, Matt. Can we just agree to not have either one of the QBs get injured in this year's game? Is there anything that we can write up a contract for this? I'm not sure if we can.
I think both sides would want that. The last few years, it's just been so it's been devastating for one side or another. Those two kids, not only are they great players, but they're great young men. Everything I hear about Taysom, I believe that to be true. I know that's true with my kid, with Chucky. And so, first of all, you hate that for the young man. You really, really do. But you hate for what it is, for what those guys mean to the program and the university. They've been tough losses, I would assume, for them as well as us. I know it has been on our end. And, man, let's just go play a great game and keep them all healthy, not just the QBs.
Because what if we just put flags on the quarterbacks? Then whoever gets the flags first, it's they're down.
Well,
instead
if we
of
were playing flag football, Chucky Keaton would have graduated by now. I would not have him back this year. And he would have broken a lot of the records here. But, as you know, Brian, that's obviously it's not the case. But those two, it's part of the game. Unfortunately, it's a bad part of the game, especially with how much those kids invest in themselves and in their teammates and in their program. Great leaders. Hopefully they can both stay healthy and have really good senior years for both teams.
Brian Sweet's little brother's not on Utah State, right? We're good?
He's not. No, he's not. You're funny.
No, I'm just saying, Brian Sweet, I mean, look, he's actually one of my favorite. I always follow the secondary, right? Being a former safety corner, I watch Brian Sweet have a tremendous career at Utah State. I know he's continued to play. He's still looking at his professional pursuits. He's with a team right now, is he not?
Yeah, he's with the Detroit Lions, doing well from what I hear and understand. And that's a kid that's been was a 3-year starter for us, graduated in 4 years. Tremendous player, but a team captain and a team leader and a really good young man.
Yeah, there's already been that awkward conversation with Ziggy, Kyle, and Brian. I've talked to him about it. It's just like, hey, let's just agree to keep those quarterbacks healthy. How is Chucky doing, by the way?
Yeah, doing well. Full speed. Full tilt, went without a knee brace all spring, as everybody knows. And you just pray and hope for that kid, really, that, he deserves to be able to, hopefully go throughout his senior year and not be injured. I look for him to have a really good year. Everything he's doing right now is full speed, though. I mean, he's cutting laterally, and he looks good. Just got to keep your fingers crossed a little bit for him.
Coach, does his injury last year change the way you guys are prepping your backup quarterbacks and the way that the offense evolves?
No, the only reason I chuckle is because he's only made it through, healthy 1 year of his four. In 2011 when I was the QB coach, he gets hurt in the Hawaii game, and here comes Adam Kennedy, and he went 5-1. The next year, Chucky stayed healthy and won 11. The next year, Daryl Gerritsen comes in and I think goes 6-1. And then last year, Kent Myers went 5-1 as a starter. So those kids, hopefully those young men that are playing behind Chucky, they prepare themselves well in the summer as well as training camp and all the reps that they're going to get in training camp that they make the best of them. And I think being the backup quarterback is one of the toughest jobs ever because you're required to play at a high level with limited practice reps, on top of all that, you're playing a position that only one guy can play every time you take a team rep. So I think it's a tough position, and those kids fortunately have played well in those roles here the last few years at Utah State.
Where do you find yourself gravitating? I mean, you're the head coach now, no longer a position coach, not a coordinator. Where do you gravitate to during practice? Who do you gravitate to? Are you always gravitating towards the quarterback?
Well, that's a fair question, Ben. That's really good. I do a little bit, but I think I've gotten better the last year. I spend more of the time at the beginning of practice, quite frankly, with the defense in their individual drills and stuff. But because of my offensive background, I'm involved in the offense heavily during game plan during the week. And so obviously I tend to focus on that a little bit more as the week goes on and the practice goes on in just an individual practice. But spring ball a little bit more on defense and during a normal practice individual, I go down there and around the defensive guys.
Well, the reason why I ponder that is because, look, you're the only offensive-minded head coach in the state, at least as far as FBS schools are concerned.
Right.
I played under Bronco. I know where he gravitates to. Like, he loves to be with the defensive line. Like, he loves coaching the nose tackles. I think that's his favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Kyle as much, but you being a former quarterback, position coach as well, and then I see the success of backup quarterbacks in your system, and automatically a light turns on, and I assume, which is, it can be a bad thing to do, but I assume that because of your background, because of, in my opinion, it's the most important position on the field in college football and in the NFL
field
to
corner.
Win. You're ridiculous.
Field
no,
corner.
You spend a little bit more time with them, and you instill confidence in these young men as backups, and they come in and they execute.
Well, I think all your assumptions are right on, and it's very natural. I mean, that's my background, not only from playing, but from coaching and kind of getting trained up from a quarterback standpoint, and then play calling and being in that chair in that offensive room. And Josh Heupel will do a great job with our quarterbacks. He already has. He's played it. He knows how to coach it. He's coached some really, really good ones, two Heisman winners. And the guy himself was a Heisman runner-up. And so he is more than capable of handling those guys and coaching those guys. But I will, because I just think that's natural. I've had coaches that are veterans, and as I talk to them and I try to get better myself, I talk to them, and they're like, Matt, you got the job. You're a quarterback guy. You're an offensive guy. Stick to what brought you into that position. So I just, that's where more of your background is. That's where you're more comfortable. That's where your knowledge base is from coaching the quarterbacks. I've coached tight ends, receivers, those kind of things. And so I think you do very naturally gravitate. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
And so if I am able to help in any way, whether it's with the quarterbacks or the offense or something we're doing strategically or play calling wise, I'm going to help because I think that's where my strength is. And I've been very fortunate. I had a defense coordinator for 2 years that had the defense from A to Z, and we corresponded and talked daily. I think I have that right now with Kevin Kloon as well. And so it's just the way that this program is structured right now from an internal standpoint, a staff standpoint. It's worked well. We're going to stick with it.
Do what you love. Love what you do. Coach Matt Wells from Utah State on with us here. Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Coach, let's talk about post-spring analysis. Were you able to answer some of the questions you had going into spring? And are there still question marks right now?
Well, we did a little bit. I think we've found some safeties, hopefully to take the guy you mentioned a while ago, Brian Sweet, Frankie Cetera, both of their jobs. It'll be a three-man race, really, in a lot of ways in the during summer, during training camp. Those guys are athletically, they're right there, if not a little bit better. They just haven't done it on game day. I think maybe that question's been answered. But I think the other questions that are not answered yet, quite frankly, is how are we going to be on defense collectively as a unit? And the only reason I say that is not because of a lack of talent. We've got talent coming back. There's no question, but because of season-ending injuries last year, some of those guys didn't participate in spring ball, and that's just it's okay. It's just going to be a little different, gaining some of that chemistry, that togetherness, that leadership throughout the summer, throughout training camp, just because of those injuries. Those guys were standing over next to me on the side, and that's okay because those guys, You know, that was part of the rehab. It was part of the process. Those guys have done it on Saturdays, and I know that they're proven players. Now, the only reason I say that as a question mark is because it's always my goal to recreate the culture here at Utah State each and every year. It's up to us as coaches and leaders in the program to recreate that, and I want that to be recreated on defense. I don't have any reason to believe we won't, but that's something that we have to do throughout this summer.
Well, you mentioned Kyler Fackrell. Well, you didn't mention him. I guess you just mentioned the injury, right? You alluded, and yeah. Look, that guy's a freak. I mean, we do a BYU show, but I follow recruiting, and I knew about Kyler. I'm from Arizona, under the radar kid that was told at BYU, and this has happened. You know, a number of times, and you can't give scholarships to everybody, right? You have to take it's a crapshoot sometimes. It's gambling when you're recruiting at times. Kyler Fackrell was a beast. Came on late. I think he only played like 1 year of football, and now he's an NFL prospect, and it's difficult to replace that type of leadership during spring when he's not out there. So who's going to
right. –
was anyone able to step up? I mean, Vigil's gone. Kyler was not able to participate. Who stepped up? Who's the leader? Yeah. Who's going to take that baton?
Well, I think, you know, we had several guys sitting out in spring. Jordan Nielsen, Travis Seafelt, just getting some stuff kind of cleaned up with them. They're veteran, a D-end and nose guard. They've played for a couple years. Those guys are leaders. Nick was out most of spring. Nick is a really good leader. Kyler, I thought Ricky Aliifua, one of our DNs, had a tremendous spring, and I think he's starting to become a good leader from a verbal standpoint. You always have to be a performer first. To me, leadership starts with being a doer. Okay, you can't lead if you don't produce. And so those kids have produced. They're good leaders. I think Ricky stepped into that a little bit this spring. I think Torrey Green stepped into that a little bit this spring. I think we have some guys, but I think those guys that are coming back, they're really good leaders. They're going to pick up right where they left off, and they continue to produce for us. They have opportunities and a platform to lead.
Coach, you guys didn't have anyone drafted this year, but a lot of free agent opportunities, which I think may be better for most of the player situations. Do you have anybody on this team that Cougar fans should be aware of and NFL scouts, calling you guys about this kid, a particular kid?
Well, I think Ben just talked about one. There's no question, you know, Kyler Fackrell will. I think that's pretty obvious. He, as long as he gets back to, you know, being the Kyler Fackrell we all know and we all love, and he's back to that, I think he's got a legit chance to be a prospect. And I think we actually have four or five others without naming every one of their names. But I think, you know, there's those guys that have good senior seasons and continue to produce after their junior year. I think we have a couple receivers. I think we have a quarterback. I think we have some defenders in that front seven, I think, that are going to be in that boat. You know, this is the first year in a while that we haven't had a kid drafted, but we got four in the training camps, and like you alluded, good opportunities for those young men, and hopefully they're able to survive a couple cuts and then maybe get lucky and make the last cut, right?
Yeah, definitely. Right. Matt, I want to talk about recruiting as the off season, and look, you know, there's not a whole lot going on right now. So when you're on the recruiting trails, who do you find that you're competing with the most? What schools pop up and where you're having similar offers come from, you're targeting the same type of prospects and same recruits?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, a decent amount of the Mountain West schools, just in the footprint of the our recruiting landscape, you know, being first and foremost Utah, and then a couple of the surrounding states, and then going California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida is mainly where the rest of our players are from outside the state. So we're butting up against Mountain West guys, Mountain West teams, as well as Utah, as well as BYU, for obvious reasons, in state and even a little bit out of state.
I've been hearing rumblings that this in-state recruiting class in 2016, 2017, it might be possible that Utah State, Utah, and BYU will all try to like just stick here in the state and try to get as many of the recruits. There could be 50 Division I players coming out of the state of Utah in those recruiting classes.
You're talking about this year's junior class?
Yeah, this year's junior class.
Two years from now?
Yep, 2 years from now, 2016 and 2017, the following year.
Maybe the best I've seen since I've been here.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going on my fifth year here. I know I'm not, you know, as tenured as some others, but just in the last 5 years, this one coming up is going to be pretty special, I think, in number. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the top several or the top however many players out of the state have been very good for the last several years. The class that you're referring to, the class of 17, in number, as far as the amount, has got a chance to be pretty special, I think, for the state. I think it's a testament to the high school coaching. I think it's a testament to the way these kids are being trained in the off season and the coaching that they're getting, as well as the want to from these young men. Want to be great. They want to be really good college football players, so they're taking it serious and they're getting better and they're marketing themselves and they're getting out to camps. And I think all that stuff kind of lends itself to that high number.
Tell me about the Utah football player that you recruit. Is there any difference as far as the type of player that comes from the state of Utah as opposed to Texas, California, Florida, any of the other the Mountain West type of states?
It's a little hard to compare exactly to a state, but I think what you're getting for the most part out of the state of Utah is you're getting a blue-collar kid that I think is usually a very, very tough kid, tough-minded mentally, tough physically. They are being coached very well. I think it's getting better and better every year that I've been here at Utah State. I think that lends itself to having greater success at the college level for us. But I think you're getting a kid that cares a lot about football. I think he's very tough, blue-collar. Hopefully we find the ones that have a tremendous work ethic, great character, great, in school, that has a, you know, something to prove. They play with the chip on their shoulder. They train with the chip on their shoulder. And those are the kind of kids that we want at Utah State that we're getting here and I think we're winning with.
Coach Matt Wells, we appreciate you hopping on with us. We know you're extremely busy. Good luck in the off season with recruiting and development of your team. And good luck versus the Cougars late in the year, man. November 29th. It might be a cold one, man, up in Logan.
It may be. I appreciate y'all having me on. Y'all have a great rest of the day talking ball.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you. There you have it. Matt Wells, head coach for Utah State.